Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome to the WTF1 podcast. I'm your host, James Coker, along with Ash Vandelay. Today we are going to be talking some of your F1 headlines, along with a little look into Formula One preseason testing. As well, later in the episode, we are going to get into the start of the IndyCar season and much, much more. I'm so excited. I don't know how you're feeling, Ash.
It should be good. All the major motorsports are coming back. MotoGP also this weekend and things. WEC starting. So I'm excited with IndyCar just you know, being the caboose.
It's like spring has sprung. You know, the snow and the ice is starting to melt. And all the little woodland critters are starting to crawl out of their tree and get into their high-powered hybrid engine cars. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Willpower gets to show double birds. You just know that's when... Spring has sprung. I'm super excited.
Amazing. Just want to check in. How was your weekend?
Good. Did a lot of stuff. Went to an expo called Curiosities and Oddities, which it was definitely weird, but essentially what I look for is, because my grandfather passed down his, how do I say this, like pinned butterfly collection. Do you ever see those like butterflies? Like they're obviously have passed, RIP butterflies, but I wanted to just like keep building on his collection. So I got
RIP butterflies, pour one out, send one up.
For the butterflies. So I got a little leaf bug and a really cool new butterfly to add to the collection to make my grandpappy proud. And what else did we do? Oh, we played pickleball at a new place, if that's not the widest thing you've ever heard of.
I tried playing pickleball for the first time the other week, and I really enjoyed it. I'm very late to the game on this. I'm like so late to the party.
Did you play doubles or singles?
I played singles.
Singles is hard.
Yeah,
you really got to schmoove. We need to make friends to play doubles with so I can stop sweating so much and just stay in my little box. But no, we play singles currently, and we're very competitive. I'm very competitive, so definitely play difficultly. How was your weekend?
It was good. I got to ask you a quick question about this butterfly collection.
Sure.
Where do you keep
it?
Where do you keep
it? It's right above me. It's on my shelves.
When you do butterfly work... Do you listen to the song by Crazy Town? Do you know what song I'm talking about?
No. We hear my butterfly.
You don't know that song by Crazy Town? Come, my lady. Come, my lady.
Oh, I do. I didn't know what it was called. I didn't realize. But look at my
butterfly. You weren't familiar with the band. Oh, that's beautiful. What kind of butterfly are we looking at?
A Madagascan sunset moth thingy.
Wow, damn. Madagascan. Damn, Madagascan sunset moth. I wasn't familiar with your game.
Absolutely so pretty. But yeah, I got a whole bunch of them for my grandpa, so I decided to keep building his collection. And my dad's like, this is what you took away from your Polish ancestors, is the butterfly collection.
I think that's amazing. I love that. But yeah, my weekend was not great. My kid was sick, so he was having a tough time. Like, he had a really bad cough from a virus, and he could not, if he was lying flat, he would have a coughing fit in the middle of the night. So he had to stay propped up. So I spent almost every night this weekend with him like propped up on me for like hours on end so he could sleep. But I could not sleep like that.
Yeah.
Or I'd have to be like lying next to him and he would wake me up with his coughing fit and I'd have to like position him up and give him some water and then he could go back to sleep and then I would not be able to go back to sleep. But it's part of being a parent, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, part of being a parent. My brother calls it the daycare flu every time he gets sick.
Yeah.
Because he's like, yeah, you just little rascals running around. And then my nephews come back home with stuff. And then my brother's sick. And he's like, oh, here we go again.
That's the joke. It's like you give daycare half of your money and they give you back every virus imaginable.
That's what you pay for, actually.
Yeah. You're paying to build up their immunity. But enough about child illnesses. Let's talk about motorsport. First up, F1 headlines. The FIA, I believe this had to do with, was it Mohammed bin Salam who said this?
Yeah.
About booing?
Classic.
Yeah. FIA said, hey guys, no booing. Stop the booing. But what underpins the sport, MBS was quoted saying, but what underpins the sport at all levels is a culture of respect. As such, it was disappointing to hear the crowd's tribalist reaction to Verstappen and his Red Bull team principal and CEO Christian Horner at the F1 launch in London. Guys, booing.
My very mature and professional response is toughness. Like, this is so lame. Get over yourselves.
Booing is so embedded in the fabric of all sport. Like, to say that, like, fans should not be able to boo.
They booed at the Coliseum, okay? They booed Jesus. Like, you're no better than any of these people here before.
Thank you. 100%. And I know Joss Verstappen also said, like, oh, Max is not going to come to London events anymore because of, like, this kind of reaction. Like, I don't think Max cares at all.
Oh, I thought Max said that. I thought he said he was also
annoyed. Oh, he said that?
Yeah. I thought he said he was also annoyed he doesn't want to come to things. But I think Max is just making excuses to not come to things.
Yeah, I think he just doesn't like going to events like that. I don't think it had much to do with the booze. I just don't think he likes to do any event that doesn't involve him driving a car.
Virtually or realistically. Yeah, because Lewis Hamilton's gotten booed plenty of times. And when there's comments on it, Max is saying, like, oh, he should just deal with it. There's nothing I can do about it, blah, 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 yeah. blah. So it's very full of Max Verstappen, which some people say is typical or whatnot, to be like, I don't want to go because I'm booed. But booing is like the essence of motorsport. And yeah, sports are tribalistic. It's wild. You guys literally sell T-shirts in your merch stores at races that make me look like I'm about to do a dampener change on an F1 car when they come to the garage. Yeah. Like, you're about to call me in to do a tire change. Kind of like the replacement goalie in hockey. I'm going to be the replacement front jackman.
We're all dressed like we're members of either the pit crew or a member of the comms team.
Yeah, so you can't tell me that it's ridiculous to hear the crowd's tribalistic reactions when they're the ones who feed into it with all the stuff that we do around Formula 1. That's the point, right? People want to feel like they're part of the team.
Yeah.
It's the jerseys that we wear and things like that. So, yeah, Max being booed for being Max and being a winner and blah, 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 that makes sense. He's in the UK. He's getting booed. That's all fun and good. As someone from a New York sports culture, that makes sense. Christian Horner was not booed because he's a CEO of Red Bull. He's booed because he's Christian Horner and has said and done terrible things that people don't agree with. And then people boo the FIA because they also don't agree with what they've done. Yeah. So we got to distinguish those two things.
For a number of reasons and a number of things he's done. Max was booed because I think people are tired of him winning and beating everybody. But also, like, this whole this comment about tribalism, like, the lack of tribalism that we have in our everyday lives is one of the reasons why we are so obsessed with sport, because it allows us to tap into that element that's embedded in our DNA that we don't really get to express anymore. Mm-hmm. So, like, saying that we shouldn't tap into that, it's like, it's one of the reasons people watch sports.
100%. It's wild that he said that. Like, what do you think for Ferrari fans come from? Like, I'm just like,
what are you talking about? It's so we can, like, instead of eating raw meat and being scared of fire, we wear some colors and we yell, the sports team from my area is better than the sports team from your area.
Oh, yeah. Now the Philadelphia Phillies just drink raw milk. We're so close to doing it all. Shout out to Bryce Harper. So it's just, yeah, this is all we're doing. Like, it's just, get your stick out of your ass. That's like all I have to say. This is like, what do you think this is? If you wanted to be such a refined sport, you would do so many things differently, but you don't.
Yeah.
You only don't like it because you got booed. Womp womp.
Womp 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 womp. Moving on to the next headline. F1 is increasing its TV rights money. So right now F1 is in negotiation to possibly go to a new streamer. Correct me if I'm wrong, ESPN waived their right of first refusal, but they're still in the running to retain the U.S. rights. Is that correct?
Yeah, if they feel so, they want to give a bid, to whatever the amount that they're asking, which we're talking about in a second, then they're welcome to do so. But they just did first rights refusal, which I think ESPN is dropping it because they also dropped Major League Baseball. So I think ESPN is going full NFL.
It feels like ESPN is losing a lot to the streamers because they have so much money to throw around. And I just like, I don't know how much longer ESPN is going to continue to be able to survive. I feel like they're slowly getting everything sort of plucked away by some of these bigger streamers.
Football does a lot. They're going to be still around for a long time. Maybe eventually, but not in our lifetime. We'll be long gone and ESPN will still be standing on our graves talking about the NFL combine and then the draft and then the NFL 18.
It'll just be different.
It's going to keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
So ESPN paid $85 million for the U.S. rights that they currently have. And now F1 is asking for basically double, $160 to $180 million for the next cycle.
And I know, like, you know, Netflix has deep pockets, Apple has deep pockets, Amazon has deep pockets. And, like, I'm sure, especially, like, I would say, any of those three, they're really trying to pivot and get involved in live sports. And so I think any of those big streaming services are going to be willing to pay above market rate on what it's actually worth because they just want to be seen as sort of an all-encompassing streaming service that doesn't just do scripted and reality stuff. They also do live TV.
Yeah, I go back and forth on this because I think sports is an easy win. Because people love sports, as we talked about. People are just like putting it on. The thing is, I don't know if it's honestly worth that much in the United States specifically. So again, this is America rights, U.S. media, and the U.S. media landscape. Sports is great. As we know, NFL is king. Their media rights deal is worth $10 billion a year.
Wild.
NBA is $7 billion a year. Oh, sorry, $76 million a year, which is $7 billion a year for their current rights. Excuse me.
Yeah.
$7 billion overall, $76 million a year. I will get English correct one day. so, yeah, NFL's king. I mean, even the MLB is more than F1. So I just don't think it's, in the United States, it's worth that much to pay that much for motorsports.
I think one of the reasons is, and it has to do, it's similar to soccer where there aren't as many opportunities for ad breaks.
Mm-hmm.
You watch an NFL game. I've read a few articles about this. I forget what the exact numbers, but I think like you spend like 3 to 4 hours watching an NFL game. You actually only see 11 minutes in those 4 hours of actual gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much downtime in between plays. You have commercials for timeouts. You have commercials for change of possession. There's so many opportunities to plug in ads into an NFL game where if you're watching a soccer match or you're watching a motor race, it's just not there. And if you do try to insert ads into motorsport, fans lose their shit. You know how angry people get? Like, especially I know last year when NBC was doing this, they wouldn't even do split screen. They would just cut to ads in the middle of a race. And then you miss some like pivotal moment. And it was like very frustrating.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see how much they want to pay for 2 hours a weekend. I also don't think they're doing their own broadcast rights. I think they would have to take the Sky International feed.
Yeah.
Or just the quote unquote international feed. And that's what they're using. So unless they plan on making a pre-race show or a post-race show or having their own analysis around this motorsport stuff, I don't know if it's worth it for them. I know Amazon Prime with their NASCAR rights, they're going to have a pre-race show with a few folks and like, you know, air obviously before the race and talk about it and probably going to be on Twitch. It's going to be like a whole thing. So I don't know if 160 to 180 is really that much worth it, especially in the United States where I think NASCAR this weekend specifically, we're recording this on the 25th. So it was just their second points race, third race overall. I think they got 4.2, 4.3 million views.
That's amazing.
F1's lucky if they get a million in the United States.
Yeah. I mean, I will also say though, F1 rarely airs in primetime hours on the weekend.
Fair, yeah.
Just because of the time change. Like, yeah, you have a million people watching the race in the U.S., but a lot of people don't want to wake up at 4 a.m. on the West Coast to watch the street race in Baku. So, like, it's a lot easier to watch, you know, a race that's in Atlanta that's airing at, like, noon my time in Los Angeles.
And as they talk about this more, I really think that F1 TV will go away for the United States like it does for other countries that have exclusive rights So if, right, because Netflix doesn't want you to either pick between them and another app. Yeah. They want you to download their app. They want app downloads. They want views. So I think they would take it away, which people would be inherently upset about.
I'd be so upset. I love F1 TV. So
yeah, 100%. That's what I use. Yeah.
Again, I think the best solution for all involved is it goes to Apple and F1 TV becomes an extension of Apple TV, like an option. So mm-hmm. if you have F1 TV, you could still use it. Or you have to have like Apple to have F1 TV or something like that. But like, dear God, I hope they don't get rid of that product in the U.S.
100% agree.
Yeah. Next up, Lewis Hamilton is a new Lululemon ambassador. You go, Glenn Coco. Very exciting.
How fun. I saw the preview and I saw the number 44. And I think because his logo flashed so quickly and I wasn't kind of comprehending what was happening, I was like, wait. And everyone was like, oh, it's Lewis Hamilton. And I was like, just because it says number 44, it could be like JJ Yaley from NASCAR. Like, what are we talking about here? They're like, no, Ashley, you dummy, watch it again. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yes, that is clearly his logo. My bad. I wasn't wearing my glasses. So yeah, they teased with his logo and of course then the number 44 and an upside down Lululemon logo. And then, of course, it came out on Monday, the 24th, his video of his ambassadorship, which is pretty exciting. He will collaborate with Lululemon on future design innovations, global advocacy, mm-hmm. and product development, focusing, of course, on training, recovery, lifestyle needs, which makes sense. He's recorded himself working out or doing his shirtless runs in Monaco, blah, blah, blah. He will also work alongside Lululemon's Center for Social Impact with his foundation, Mission 44, to support the next generation and create a more inclusive future.
Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's a great partnership. It makes a lot of sense. I know years ago, Lululemon had a lot of controversies and were known for being sort of a toxic like work environment. But what I've read, they have course corrected and they are a much better company than they were a few years ago.
Yeah, I don't think Lewis Hamilton would be like, sure.
Yeah.
In there with Mission 44 and himself and be like, hey, we're going to work together. We're going to be better people and work on this.
Yeah. So,
agree with you there.
It makes a lot of sense. It's a premium brand. He's a premium guy.
And, nice. I do wonder if, and excuse me, of course, these dang American hosts. I'm not sure how the athlete signage happens in other countries in the world, right? In the United States, we have Nike athletes and everyone knows who they are.
Yeah.
They have commercials, people have shoes, like it's a big thing.
Right.
I think I'm going to be 100% honest. I don't know if there's Adidas athletes. I'm sure there's people who are sponsored by Adidas, but they're not as popular as just Nike athletes on and so forth. So one thing is, this is pretty cool for him to get sponsored by in this kind of light, Lululemon as a global ambassador. I believe Zhou Guanyu was a Lululemon ambassador for still a Lululemon ambassador as well, I believe. So just the two best men, dress men on the grid makes sense. And also just having an athlete signing to this kind of athleisure workout wear makes sense. I'm surprised. I don't know. Like, did Nike drop the ball? Like what's... I wonder what the talks were. Was Lululemon already in the grid with Zhou Guanyu, so they had easier access to Hamilton and his people, and how that worked out?
I think maybe one of the reasons why someone like Nike would never go after Lewis Hamilton is there is not a ton of utility for like Nike isn't going to make like a race shoe.
Sorry, James. That's where you're wrong.
What?
They made a race shoe for Michael Schumacher.
They really?
Yeah, they also made one for Adidas made one for Fernando Alonso, and then Nike made one for Michael Schumacher. So they actually did make a race shoe. So there is.
I thought they all wear I thought all these drivers wear Alpine Stars or Speed Cats or whatever.
Well, I mean, Michael Schumacher was decades ago, but also
sure.
but also, no, you can. I mean, you can have a Nike race shoe, which would have been sick. But yeah, by being Lululemon doesn't make race shoes. They make clothes. Nike also makes workout clothes. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
He could have done a street style like look too with Nike, which I'm sure he could do. Well, Lululemon's more like athleisure show. That's not really the Hamilton way.
Yeah.
Showing up in like gym shorts. But Nike does have a street style kind of vibe as well in some of their things. So I was just like kind of surprised that we went that way. But I mean, it's still pretty cool that he signed up with Lululemon. And I'm going to buy everything that they release because I'm white and my name is Ashley. And I love working out Lululemon. So I'm ready.
When you saw that number 44, here are some other players who you might have thought it was. Hank Aaron, who wore the number 44. Former New York Met Ron Darling.
We don't like the Mets in this household, sorry.
Hall of Fame running back Jim Brown. Hockey defenseman Chris Pronger. The
wow,
logo.
I'm not gonna say Reggie Jackson.
The logo. The logo himself, Jerry West. That's what I got for famous players who wore number 44.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is testing happening tomorrow or Thursday?
Tomorrow. They start Wednesday, whenever people hear this, the 26th.
All right, folks. Yeah, we're recording this on February 25th. February 26th, preseason testing starts in the Kingdom of Bahrain.
Boop, 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 boop.
It's the essentially a home race for McLaren.
You're not wrong. Wow, what an advantage. Teams are going to be limited to one car. Drivers have to share and play nice. They're going to get about 9 hours of track availability each day for the 3 days of testing, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You can look up their schedules and when the drivers go to go. It should be on F1 TV or if you're in United States, ESPN Plus, ESPN TV. So I think people are excited to see cars back on track. I've already seen speculations on Twitter. Please gird your loins, everyone. It's just testing. We all need to not count too much into it, right? Don't look into lap times. We're not trying to do fastest lap after fastest lap after fastest lap or big one-off performances. We don't know what the teams are testing. They're not going to tell you. They want to keep it under wraps. They're not going to tell you what setup changes they've done, what's broken, what they need to fix. So don't look into lap times and one-off performances and don't directly compare to teams because you don't know what they're testing. That is the whole point. They could be doing aerodynamic stuff. They could be looking into technical issues that they ran into. They're looking at simulations and they're comparing simulations from back of the factory from things on the racetrack. So you want to, one, just watch how many kilometers/miles they do in testing and see if anything in their garage or if they're fixing anything. You're like, oh, so this car won't last one race lap or two race laps. So yeah, you're looking at anything that can't be changed immediately. You'll see them working and tinkering in the garage. Though that's also not saying anyone who's in the garage for the most times having a terrible testing. So you just don't look into things too much. Have a good time. Cars are back out on track for a little bit. Enjoy the sounds. Enjoy the vibes. And enjoy all the random things that F1 TV talks about because they obviously aren't told anything by the teams of what they're doing. So enjoy the conversations that they have during testing.
I will say, you know who's so good about giving very insightful commentary about this stuff is Ruth Buscombe-Divey.
Mm-hmm.
She has been such an asset to F1 TV and just is like this encyclopedia of knowledge. And I remember the very first race she called, she was in the booth with Alex Jakes and Julian Palmer, and she just started pulling all these like stories and facts like out of nowhere. And I think they were like shocked at like how knowledgeable and polished she was like right from the jump. So I'm excited to see what she has to say, especially since she worked over a decade in the sport as a strategist.
Bernie Collins also wrote in her book, if anyone wants to take a gander about things that to look for in F1 testing and what they do and sometimes in teams and things like that. So if you want to dive more into information about F1 testing, you'll read Bernie Collins' book as well as looking at the F1 TV crew and just going along with what they're doing.
Also, like Ash said, you know, we're going to see cars running like different setups, different fuel loads. Some are going to have like cages attached to them with sensors. Some are going to be splooging flow viz out of the back.
What a verb.
Like, there's going to be a lot of weird stuff going on track. My question to you is, because, like, you know, you can't really, like, make predictions because it's just testing and we're not, they're not comparing apples to apples.
But you're still going to ask me for a prediction? Is that what's happening?
Do you think, because this happens sometimes, it's happened with Williams in the past, it happened with McLaren almost 10 years ago.
What?
Do you think any team is going to show up and not have a car ready for testing?
Ooh, interesting. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I do also want people to remember that the cars you see now might not be the car you see in Australia. Just FYI, they can do dramatic changes between then and now. So that's what testing is for. I don't think anyone's not going to show up with a car. I think everyone...
It's happened, though.
It's definitely happened. I just don't think this year, 2025. Now, if we're saying 2026 and there were something's going on there, maybe a lot more better with the regulations is more likely. But since it's 2025, and I've seen some changes from the Mercedes came out with their car, and people are like, wow, this is so different. They're going the Red Bull route. Red Bull people say this looks the same. But I think everyone has their car. I think everyone's fine.
Hell yeah.
Can't wait to be wrong tomorrow.
Well, we have 3 days of testing. It's going to be very exciting. I'm sure all of us are going to be watching all 9 hours of it uninterrupted.
It starts at 2 a.m. Eastern time. I was just like, I would watch more testing. And I love when people are like, oh, are you going to watch it? I'm like, I am not waking up at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
I can't wait to be involved as a society to like stop being like, I wake up at 4 a.m. to watch Formula One races. Good for fucking you. It doesn't make you a better fan than anyone. I don't know why people gloat about this on Twitter. I'm such a boomer about this. They're like, I wake up at 6 a.m. Great. I will not. Have fun.
Do you record it and then wake up at a reasonable time and just watch it and not look at your phone? Is that how you do it?
So I will watch Australia. China, I probably won't watch. And it depends on what the reaction was. Like, I'll just read what happened or, like, watch the highlights and then go from there if I'm really intrigued. Sometimes it's pretty much easy to figure out what's going on there and who doinked up where. So it just depends on the results.
Yeah. Okay.
As someone who also doesn't watch practice. It's just, I don't know. I think we're coming into this culture of I'm going to watch F1 in the restaurant and look how fun I am because I'm a real fan. And I'm like, oh.
I like watching it early in the morning because it's the only time I can watch it uninterrupted. Because once my kid wakes up, like, you know, he wants to watch fucking Paw Patrol and shit. So it's like, what I had to do last year is if the race was later in the day and he was awake, I had to set up two TVs. So I had to like put his show on or a movie or something, and then I had to like watch the race with headphones on.
Two TVs is the way to go. That's what I got upstairs. Sometimes NASCAR race is taking forever. I just throw it on the second TV and we're watching something else. And like you, time to time. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Just watch that. F1 however you want. Doesn't make you worse or better fan depending on the time you watch it. Before we get on this, I feel like I need to hedge my bets on all the dumb Twitter stuff I'm going to see as the season starts, okay? Your driver can be a bad driver, okay? Charles Leclerc is not perfect. Lando Norris is not perfect. Lewis Hamilton's not perfect. Max Verstappen's not perfect. People can have valid criticisms. And we can put our feelings aside. Second of all, I don't care why someone's a fan. Just let them be.
Yeah. To quote the hip-hop artist T.I., you can do whatever you like.
Well, see, but then someone's going to take that and be like, yeah, I can do whatever I like. Like, shit on people and be terrible fans. So don't just be a nice person. Let people vibe.
Hey, from your lips to God's ears. Love
Amen.
It. Moving on, y'all. The IndyCar season is underway. It is starting this weekend in St. Petersburg.
Russia.
Florida, not Russia.
Do you remember this? Do you remember that? Oh, God, I don't think it was last year or 2 years. Oh, when did Russia invade Ukraine? 3 year, 2020? Oh, my gosh, it's been for so long. We need to do something about that immediately. Quite a few years ago, as I'm looking at, it's 2025 and not 2021. When Russia invaded Ukraine and the IndyCar season was starting, there was a lot of commotion on Twitter of people being like, I can't believe IndyCar is racing in St. Petersburg. And for a second, I thought people were joking. And then I realized a few people who knew nothing about IndyCar thought IndyCar was racing in Russia. And I was like, this is one, Google exists. Google exists. And two, we are not racing in Russia.
Also, while IndyCar has raced in like Japan and Brazil and other races in Canada every year,
decades ago,
it is predominantly a North American racing series. Like, why would we ever think that it would race in Russia?
I don't know. I think people saw the current event happening and then St. Petersburg. I mean, there's like a Paris, Texas. There's a London, New York. There's a lot of towns named for something. Yeah. So we are not racing in Russia. We are racing on the west coast of Florida.
So we have the first race coming up of the IndyCar season this weekend. It's a 17-race season. It is switching. The broadcast in the United States is switching from NBC/Peacock to Fox Sports. There's a lot of optimism about that, especially the money that they put into marketing for especially these Super Bowl ads that featured Alex Palou, Joseph Newgarden, Pato O'Ward. Mm-hmm. I'm optimistic. I'm very happy that James Hinchcliffe is back. Townsend Bell, also a very solid commentator. Mm-hmm. Would have liked to see a woman on the broadcast or someone of color. It's Townsend like three. Bell. Yeah. But we have Townsend Bell, Will Buxton, James Hinchcliffe. It looks like an aging boy band. It looks like the Backstreet Boys about to play the Sphere or Take That, which was playing at F1 Live 75. But yeah. I think it's a good group of guys, and I think they'll be a good broadcast team.
I'm glad if Townsend Bell is there. I need James Hinchcliffe to counter him. I'm not the biggest fan of Townsend Bell, personally.
Yeah.
He also happens to be I definitely know he's Santino Ferrucci's manager. I don't know if he's a manager to any other driver, but however, he does glaze Ferrucci pretty hard.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating where Hinchcliffe will, like, you'll hear Hinchcliffe like sigh a little bit, like from far away, and then he'll be like, to circle back to the race we're watching, he'll like say something like funny, but like it's definitely poignant and sassy to be like, yeah, all right, Townsend Bell, like reel him back in. And I'm glad Buxton is there because he's done this before. He's very familiar with IndyCar. He's passionate, and I think him and James obviously have a good rep from working together in F1, and I think they'll balance out Townsend Bell and his shenanigans pretty well. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Now, if you are predominantly an F1 fan and you're listening to this podcast, you're not super familiar with IndyCar, let's quickly just talk about how IndyCar is different from Formula One. Yes, they are both open wheel racing series. However, IndyCar to a degree is a spec series in that they have the same chassis, correct?
Yes.
They have a choice of two power units, either Honda or Chevy. IndyCar is different from Formula One in the sense that there is more parity. You look at Formula One, you have the top four teams who have competitive cars, and then you have the rest of the field. In IndyCar, there's more parity. The cars are more similar in regards to performance, but then you also have some cars and some drivers that do better on certain courses. So, you know, IndyCar doesn't just have road courses and street circuits. It has road courses, street circuits, and it has ovals like NASCAR. So there'll be some drivers and some cars and some teams that do really well on ovals that might not be as competitive on street circuits or on permanent road tracks. So, and also IndyCar does not have power steering. So it is physically, in some ways more challenging than driving a Formula One car. Would you agree with that, Ash?
Ooh, I mean, the G-forces are not equating, but if we're talking about power steering wise, then yes.
Okay.
I mean, those are, it's hard to directly compare stuff like that when you're doing it.
I mean,
because people are going to complain about it.
But if you're going to like, in simplified terms, compare the two, you say IndyCar is a spec series, but it's like a spec series with an asterisk, right?
Yeah.
In Formula One, we're used to having DRS. You have to be in the detection zones. You have to be within a second of the car
push
ahead of
pass,
you.
Baby.
In IndyCar, we have something called push to pass, which is your boost, and you have a limited amount of push to pass over the course of a race. You do not have push to pass on ovals, correct, Ash?
Correct.
The unit of measurement they use for push to pass, is it in seconds over the course of a race?
Yes. And it'll show you on the broadcast. They'll have a graphic.
Yeah.
Which will be great.
Yeah. So those are the main differences for IndyCar and F1. Now, in IndyCar, we have 27 cars?
I don't know how many are chartered, actually. That's a great question, because CGR got rid of a few of their cars since going under charter. So that's a great question.
It's either 29 or 27, and Prema is the one team that is working without a charter.
Prema does not have charters, which means they're not guaranteed. However, currently there's always going to be a spot for them. because I think unless someone brings like a crazy one-off car that I'm unaware of, but the Indy 500 will be one of the races they'll definitely have to qualify their way in.
In IndyCar, there's going to be 27 full-time cars split amongst a number of teams. 25 of those cars are with chartered teams that have like a permanent charter with IndyCar. Prema, which has two cars, which is Callum Ilott and Robert Schwartzman, do not have an official charter in IndyCar yet. So every race will have 27 cars, with the exception, I believe, Portland will have an extra car. It'll be a 28-car race. And Indy, the Indy 500, will have 33 cars. Does that sound correct?
Yes. There are a set of changes where you can go up to like 117 different things you can do with an Indy car. So it's not just quote-unquote spec. There's just fine-tuning. There's details. There's dampeners, et cetera, that you can play around with in an Indy car that teams are trying to perfect over the course of the weekend. So it's not just quote-unquote spec, which is nice.
Yeah. So we had a lot of changes in the off season, a lot of driver swaps between teams. We had some shuffling when IndyCar just announced this new charter. It used to be that like teams like Andretti used to have four drivers. Last year, Chip Ganassi Racing had five drivers. Now with the charter, each team is only limited to having three cars per team, with the exception of the Indy 500, where they can have additional entries. This is going to be the first year for Prema. We know Prema has been racing in a number of other series for decades. This will be their first entry into IndyCar. We will have the first year with McLaren being only McLaren, no longer Aero McLaren. Tony Kanaan was just announced as the new team principal, which I'm very excited about.
TK.
But if you have not watched IndyCar before, the heavy hitters in IndyCar are Penske and Ganassi. Penske, Team Penske and Chip Ganassi Racing, they're the ones that have won the lion's share of championships over the last, I don't know, two decades in IndyCar. There are other teams that are strong, McLaren, Andretti, but for the most part, it's like Penske and Ganassi domination. Would you agree, Ash?
Yeah, but it's like typical Penske fashion, right? They're in all so many series around the world. So, I like to think of them as like the mob bosses of IndyCar. Mm-hmm. Penske also owns Indianapolis Motor Speedway and IndyCar.
Yeah.
So that you might think that's a conflict of interest, but we somehow have just worked through it as a series.
Yeah. He's like Toto Wolff. He's not a businessman. He's a business man.
They did get in trouble though last year for a push the pass controversy. So even though he does own the series, they investigated themselves and did find something wrong, and they were able to get in trouble and penalized for it.
And yeah, so Joseph Newgarden at the beginning of last season at St. Petersburg, they found a hack where you could use push to pass on restarts. That push to pass is supposed to be disabled on restarts if there's a yellow flag and they do a rolling restart. But they found a hack where he could use it, and he was gaming the system, and they ended up penalizing some of the members of Team Penske, and they were like suspended for a few races, including the Indy 500. I'm very excited for this upcoming season. Who are some of the drivers to watch, Ash?
Well, we can look at Alex Palou, who's looking for his three consecutive championship, or his fourth overall. So that's
he's
pretty
won
exciting.
three of the last 4 years, right?
So yeah, we're looking for just let's go in a row now, right? He's like, I've already won a couple times. I want to go in a row. Let me pull a Max or a Lewis here. So Alex Palou with Scott Dixon in the usual Chip Ganassi Racing here. Pato O'Ward, as you know, he got second in Indianapolis 500. Not the first time that's happened to him. He's with McLaren. He's got a lot to prove. He wants to be a heavy hitter. He's got a lot of passion. He cares about the sport, but he's also good. I think his ultimate goal is hopefully one day Formula One. So he's hoping if he wins Indy 500 and a championship, that'll prove to maybe McLaren that he's ready for Formula One. I don't know if that will happen, unfortunately, but we have him in IndyCar, and we're going to cherish him forever.
Yeah.
There's also, James Benson, Joseph Newgarden, and Scott McLaughlin, who are with Penske. They used to be the Bus Bros. They broke up, unfortunately, and everyone has to get over it. And they are pretty close, pretty good. Joseph Newgarden won the Indianapolis 500, and Scotty Mac would have been up in points if it wasn't for a bunch of things last year, which I'll get to a little bit later.
Yeah. Joseph Newgarden has won the last two Indy 500s. So, you know, looking to win. I don't think anybody's ever won three in a row. Correct me if I'm wrong. No. Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
You're never wrong, James.
But yeah.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
I do feel like those are the ones to watch. Will Power did break up that sort of like championship run from Alex Palou. So I think the last four IndyCar champions have been like Alex Palou, Will Power, Alex Palou, Alex Palou. So don't count him out as well. But I feel like the drivers who drive for Penske and Chip Ganassi are at an advantage because they just are such like a both teams are such well-oiled machines and are at an incredible advantage. But yeah, I'm very excited to see what happens. While Alex Palou has been incredibly dominant in IndyCar the last few years, he still has yet to win on an oval.
Which shows you that it's not everything, but I would like my champion, I mean, he does well enough. I would like my champion to be well-rounded on all tracks.
I see what you did there.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, do you think Palou's finally going to win on an oval this season?
Yeah, but it's also okay if he doesn't, right? There's so many shenanigans that happens on an oval, yep. Especially with Indianapolis cars, that if you're in top five, like, I'll give it to you, right? Winning on an oval is hard. Winning in general is difficult. It's about consistency wins championships, right? So I'm like, fine.
Also, what's interesting is like a lot of the IndyCar champions don't necessarily like dominate over the course of the season in regards to race wins.
Right.
Like, I believe Alex Palou only had a handful of race wins last year, but he finished in the top five so many times, was able to accumulate enough points to win the championship.
Because so many shenanigans happen in between other people not consistently being in the top five. So it's a little wild. I do want to hear a bold prediction you have while we're right before we start.
This season, so much bold, but it is a prediction. I think Scott Dixon is going to win his seventh IndyCar championship.
I thought you were going to steal my prediction, even though in our show notes it says dibs on saying this, because you said Scott, and I wrote Scott for Scott McLaughlin, but you said Dixon, so I was fine with that.
Scott Dixon is like the Manu Ginobili of IndyCar. He's like just going to be like driving in the series forever. If you're not familiar with Scott Dixon, he's won the IndyCar championship six times, and he has been racing in it for like, what, two decades now? And I could see it being like the year 2075 and a 96-year-old Scott Dixon like slowly gets to his car in a walker and then puts it on pole at Mid-Ohio.
And then has to get helped out with like one of those chairs that pulls you.
He has to like take one of those like motorized chairs up to the top of the podium.
That's what I was just thinking. I was just sitting on it. The confetti goes off and he's still on it because it's so slow as they announce his win.
Yeah. Scott Dixon and the AARP car.
Hey, you can join AARP whenever you want, by the way.
Really?
But if you're below a certain age, you don't get certain benefits.
I did not
know
that.
But you can join now.
Yeah. What is your bold prediction for the upcoming IndyCar season?
So my dibs in our show notes were saying Scott McLaughlin's going to win the championship. Because if it wasn't for the push to pass controversy, and if it wasn't for Power absolutely shunting him in Toronto, excuse me, I'm going to say the second T in Toronto for all the Canadian followers. I think he would have been up there with Alex Palou. I don't know if he would have surpassed him in points, but it would have been close enough where he could have continually fought for the championship and maybe have given Palou a run for his money because it would have been a lot closer.
Yeah. I like that. I like
Scott McLaughlin. I'll go with Pato O'Ward wins the Indy 500 finally. Why not? That's a fun prediction.
I really want Pato O'Ward to win an Indy 500 so bad because like if you're not super familiar with IndyCar and you're listening to this, the Indy 500 winning the Indy 500 for a lot of fans and a lot of drivers is more important than winning the IndyCar championship.
Why'd you have to say it?
Why? What's wrong with me saying that? It's true.
Because we're trying to change it.
Who's we?
IndyCar. So people stop watching till the Indy 500 and drop off for the last 10 races because people only care about the Indy 500.
Okay.
sad. I mean, he's not wrong, but I can be mad about it, okay? Look, there's a 17 race season, excuse me, as James mentioned earlier. Indy 500 is like race 7 or 8. It is so close to the beginning of the season in May, and then we have quite a few races after it.
Right.
So we're trying to get people to build, to keep watching and not just stop after the Indy 500.
Yeah.
Though it is difficult, because one, if people didn't know this, it's the world's single day largest sporting event in attendance. And again, that is single day. Some people will be like, Tour de France. And I was like, that's like 2 weeks, guys. Yeah. And this is a sporting event, single day. It does not go into overnight. It is one 24 hour period. It is before people start Googling and asterisking and being like, how about this? No. Le Mans takes over 2 days. So does any other 24-hour race theoretically takes over 2 full days. Meanwhile, this is still just 1 day and a few hours. So world's single largest sporting event in attendance. IMS can fit a lot of people, and it's been around. Indy 500, 1911, I think, was the first one. And then I'm sure there's stuff before that that they didn't call the Indy 500, but they claim that's the origins of the Indy 500. So it goes way, way, way back for open wheel racing and things like that. So, Indy 500 has a ton of history. People love it. The city of Indianapolis loves it. There's people who attend and just watch the Indy 500 and don't watch anything else with IndyCar. And it's like, yeah, we're trying to change that because we'd like people to care. And it's hard. I will admit, this is an issue we've had consistently.
And I will say, I love IndyCar so much. I think the product is amazing. I do think they need to invest more in the production value, both for the broadcast and what happens at the race, for it to continue to get more fans. But that's just my opinion.
Just my opinion. Wait, man. Please go on, James. I have time. Oh, do you have time?
Yeah.
Please, by all means, I would like to hear it. If we cut this out, that's fine. I want to know so I can argue.
I think, okay, here's one thing, small thing. The podium is like the size of a podium you'd see at a karting race.
They have a stage.
I was at Long Beach, and it was a tiny podium. Like, it looked like
I don't know anything about Long Beach. That's a good point.
A lot of the races, you know, the 500 is probably different, but a lot of the races, like, they just don't put a lot of money into the production value of, like, because, yeah, the sport's amazing, but we also, like, want the pageantry attached to sport and the show aspect of it. And I feel like due to budgetary reasons, due to, you know, Roger Penske, like, famously is very fiscally responsible, if I'm going to be like diplomatic in saying that. He does, like, point blank, he just does not like to spend a lot of money. And I think if IndyCar was willing to invest more money to make their races more of a show and a spectacle, it would attract more fans.
Interesting. I don't deny you that Penske could spend a little bit more money and be more interested. And that's why people have called for him to maybe sell it to someone who, quote unquote, wants to. This is a typical, I know I'm wearing a baseball jersey, so if I may, it's kind of like Chicago fans and Yankees fans / Dodgers Mets, people who spend money on bettering their team, and then clubs who don't, but just buy the land around their stadium, which is weird. Yeah, if you want to spend a little bit of money, which is why I think Fox is doing well, because they're spending the money on the advertisements, and IndyCar has given them the full right to do so with the commercials that they're making and things like that. So they spent money on the Super Bowl advertising. They're spending money on all this advertising now with the new commercials and things like that, and putting them during on NASCAR races and other games that and other sporting events that Fox has on their television schedule. So we're letting Fox spend the money, I guess, is what Penske always wanted. Spend someone else's money. Why spend yours?
Yeah, for sure. I'm partnering with GridRival this year, which is a fantasy app built exclusively for motorsport. They have F1 leagues, they have a NASCAR league, and they also are now the official fantasy sports app for IndyCar. And you can download GridRival, you can join my league, you can start a league with your friends, and participate in the NTT IndyCar Series Fantasy Challenge driven by Firestone. And do you play fantasy motorsport?
Yeah, I have quite a few. I like fantasy motorsports because I do a lot of fantasy football. It's just fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. And so I have a league set up on GridRival. Check out links to join my IndyCar League or my F1 League. This is who I have starting for in my driver lineup this weekend. I have Scott Dixon, old reliable. I got
Seabiscuit.
I got Pato O'Ward. I have Marcus Ericsson. And then I put most of my money into those three drivers, so I had to start looking for value. So I have Felix Rosenquist, who is my star driver. Meyer Shank has a technical partnership with Chip Ganassi, so I'm speculating that Felix Rosenquist and Marcus Ericsson will have a better car than Meyer Shank has had in the past because of that technical alliance. Mm-hmm. Also, I think Felix Rosenquist is a very reliable driver. So I think
he's reliable mid driver. It's fine.
But he's like, I think he's bringing a lot of value. So he's my star driver for double points. I then have Dave Malukas and Connor Daly rounding out my driver lineup.
Oh, interesting choices.
Yeah. And I know like Connor Daly mostly excels on ovals, but I don't know. Taking a flyer on him. We'll see.
Well, it's good that you mentioned him because literally as soon as we were done recording last week's podcast, he put out a tweet saying that he does have funding amidst of the whole polka dot thing that we went into last week. So
interesting.
He's not dependent on, like, he has funding for at least this coming race and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, what a coincidence. I wish I saw this before we started talking about it. But he is all set coming on in.
Good for him.
Yeah.
You go, Glenn Coco. So if people want to tune in to the first race of the IndyCar season, how can they watch this weekend?
Well, it's going to be, I guess, I had like a lot of thoughts at once that I couldn't all say at once because I only have one mouth. I was like, do people watch practice? Do I only talk about when the race is? If you want to watch free practice, that's at 3:05 p.m. Eastern on FS1 in the United States. Yep. Saturday, free practice 2 is at 10 a.m. Qualifying is going to be Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, there's a warm-up at 9 a.m. And the race is starting, the race broadcast starts at 12 p.m., but the green flag is at 12:27. So American sports do this. I actually don't know if football/soccer does this. American sports has a terrible knack of saying that they're starting at 12, 1, 2, etc. But they actually don't start till like 12:30, 1:40. This happens for hockey. This happens for baseball. This happens for basketball. This happens for every sport. And we also do this for motorsports. The race broadcast starts at 12 p.m. on Fox. It will actually be 12:27 for the green flag. So 27 minutes past the hour.
Yeah, like baseball loves doing that. Like 6:35 p.m. start. I'm like, why are we getting so accurate?
Hockey does that. I really hate it.
Yeah, but I'm very excited for this first race in St. Pete. Yeah, any predictions for St. Pete?
Because it is a street course and it's so narrow, there's going to be, I think, at least one incident where we're always glad that the aero screen exists.
Yes.
For people who don't know, it's essentially a windshield. Think about it between where the halo is to the car, it's a windshield, but we call it an aero screen, not a windshield. And that has saved and helped countless of people. And it's insane that people complain about it because safety is never something you should complain about or joke about. Yep. So because it is a street course and the many of incidents and people are squirrely, they want to shake the dust off, they want to prove themselves, they want to get ahead in the points as soon as they can and things like that. We're going to see some argy barging for sure. Driver wise, I kind of like the usual suspects. I like Scott McLaughlin, Colton Herta, and Joseph Newgarden, I think, are the drivers to watch.
My prediction to win the race at St. Pete is Pato O'Ward.
Oh, nice.
He inherited the win last year when Joseph Newgarden was disqualified. That's my pick. About wraps it up for today. We will be back later this week to talk about our reactions to Formula One preseason testing in Bahrain.
So even though I said not to speculate, we're going to speculate.
We're going to speculate.
You're going to like it.
We're going to speculate. We're going to have winners. We're going to have losers. We're going to have sandbags. It's going to be great. So make sure to tune in later this week with our reactions to Formula One season preseason testing in Bahrain. Anything else you want to talk about or plug before we go, Ash?
No, I hope you'll have a great day and support your local racetrack so you can stop complaining about street circuits because racetracks cost a lot of money to upkeep. Thank you.
Yeah. Make sure to follow me on social media at This James Coker on TikTok and Instagram. Temple of Room on YouTube. Ash, where can people find you if they'd like to find you on the medias?
anywhere they social media. Ash Vandelay, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, X, Blue Sky, your mom's house, Ash Vandelay.
Please make sure to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it. Leave a review if you have the time. That'd be awesome. And we will see you later this week.
Bye.
Thanks so much, y'all. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.